Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
And let's go for a little bit of atmosphere straight away to our VP Racing Fuel pit reporter, as we have Shea Adam on the far side of the track from the Michelin tyre. And say good afternoon to you, Shea. First of all, we need our weather report from you. How's it looking?
It's glorious right now. Beautiful blue skies with little wispy clouds. It's a little bit warm, but, you know, it's nice, and it's a beautiful day to talk to Catherine Legg. Kat, I haven't done this with you for almost 2 years. How have you been?
Hello. I thought you were calling me gorgeous then for a second.
Well, you are. You are. I would say that anytime. You guys with the Hardpoint Porsche, you've got Rob Ferriel and Andrew Davis in the car with you. They have to start the session because it's silver or bronze only. Do you enjoy these little bits of break where they have to drive for the first 30 minutes?
No, I'm a control freak and I want to be in the car at all times. No, I do. You know, it's a process. Everybody needs time in the car. The car is very different to how it was when we tested here. But it is so good to have you back. It's so nice to see all the fans here. Honestly, the sun is shining and the paddock is full. And so it's going really well.
This has been a race that's traditionally been very good for Porsches. What's it like driving for that brand here at Motul Petit Le Mans?
You know, Porsche is so iconic that driving for them anywhere is really cool. Driving for them here is particularly special. You know, it's been new for us as a team to run the Porsche. It's been new for me personally to run it as well. And so just learning how it drives a bit differently. You know, every GT3 car is different. The Porsche is specifically different with where the engine is. So I've really enjoyed it so far, and we're working on the car. I think we're getting it better. We did a couple of days testing here, and I think we're in decent shape. We still have a little bit of work to do, but we're getting there.
Well, good luck today, and more importantly, good luck on Saturday.
Thanks.
Shea, before we let you wander off to your next interview, it's quite windy down there at the pit lane. I can see the flags are blowing quite steadily down there, but it looks to be coming from sort of across the track, almost from behind the pits.
You know, it's almost coming down from turn one, I have to say.
Right.
Almost cutting across turn one. But yeah, it is very windy because there are storms in the area. It's expected to rain for night practice, which means that quite a few teams are going to sit that out. But that's later on. We still got this hour and a half to go first. And I've just come across a very friendly face who waved me down. So, Matt Bell, you're going to get an interview. This is a good track for you. 2014, the win with Paul Miller Racing in the Audi. What's it like to drive around here in an LMP3, though?
I absolutely love this place. It's good in everything. 2014 in the Audi, last year in the P2. It's good in GT, it's good in prototype. This is one of the best tracks in the USA, so it's awesome to be back.
It's got to be crowded out there, though, particularly with all the variety of race cars. How difficult is it to be smack dab in the middle?
It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. There's usually a little bit of overlap with the GTLMs, so that's always an interesting dynamic in the race. It's quite a big grid as well for this race. So, 43 cars in 2.5 miles. Yeah, it's going to be busy. Should be entertaining for the fans, that's for sure.
And talk a little bit about coming back and racing in America, because you got the IPC Championship last year, but then this year it's only been a few starts here and there. Do you miss it?
Yes, I absolutely love racing in the US. The style of racing, I love it to bits. The tracks, the fans, you know, great fan base over here, so... always love racing in the USA. Would like to be back here as much as I possibly could, and working on that for the future.
Yeah, I hope we get that for you. Good luck.
Shay, thank you.
Well, isn't that a great thing to hear Shea back live in the pit lane? Thanks to IMSA for allowing Shea back in the pit lane. Also, particularly to Alex and to Tim Gray for helping get that set up and making the technology work. And of course, to our usual IMSA technology partners and technical team under Tyler and the rest of the team, who have been working really hard all this year to make sure that all of the links are working and they've still had to do all of their work as well across this weekend. Jeremy Shaw in the Hagerty Global broadcast booth. Great to have the cars back on track and a bit of sunshine as well at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta for the lesser experienced drivers to get out on the track.
Yeah, it looks great out there, doesn't it? And good to see, because there were certainly some comments yesterday I heard about the probability of rain today. It doesn't seem to materialise yet, and hopefully we'll say that way. As Shay said a little while ago, there is perhaps some precipitation forecast for this evening. But hey, look, let's think positive and be thankful for what we have right now, which is just perfect conditions. It's certainly going to be cool this weekend. I think I saw somewhere maybe a projected high of 50 degrees on Saturday for race day. That's pretty chilly out there. That's going to make things very, very difficult for the drivers in terms of building any heat into their Michelin tyres, John, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. This is a circuit that is about middling in terms of grip and therefore degradation of the tyres. We don't often talk about people having tyre problems here, but the cars do move around because it isn't brand new tarmac. But take, 10, 15 degrees out and that changes the whole equation, Jeremy.
It really does. And these tyres are built to last. These are endurance races. Most of the teams will be changing tyres at each pit stop, which for the prototype cars is around about every 40 minutes. The GT cars closer to an hour. But still, there is the likelihood to double stint the tyres. With the cooler conditions, that might be good. It might not be so good. And that's what they're here to find out over the course of these practice sessions today and tomorrow to be properly prepared for Saturday's race.
I will I'll get Jeremy to run through what happened in free practice one in terms of the times in a moment, but I'd like to go back to Shay, our VP Racing Fuel pit report. And Shay, can you just bring us up to date with the final bits and pieces from the, we've been tracking it the last few weeks, from the entry list and what we've actually got here this weekend, who's here and who perhaps isn't here?
Oh, okay. Well, we've got 43 cars entered, so it is a very busy pit lane and a very busy paddock. 7 DPI cars, because we have the Ally Racing Cadillac back. That's a second car being run out of the Action Express tent, so that's going to try and help the Whelan Engineering crew to win this championship. We've got, who else? I'm trying to think for different. LMP2, we've got 5 cars in that category. We welcome Era Motorsport back, as well as United, with a car that includes Mr. Guy Smith. I had a nice conversation with him this morning. 10 LMP3 machines. The entry list change, as far as that's concerned, the 47 Motorsports machine, that's car number 7, confusingly, that has Mark Kwame, and added to it, Rodrigo Fluker, who was the 2019 IPC champion, and Stefan Radzinski, who hasn't done any racing in the last 2 years. I did the track walk with him yesterday, and he was saying how weird it's going to be to try and do long-distance racing. His last thing was driving in the Jaguar I-Pace series, so a very different category of driving. In GTLM, we have 6 cars with the addition of 2 BMWs. They had agreed to do the endurance races to kick things off this year. Well, they are back, and we have a second WeatherTech Racing Porsche. That's Kevin Estra, Fred McAvecky, and Michael Christensen sharing that car. They were quickest this morning. GTD, we've got 15 cars. That is a lot of cars. Driver entry changes. I'm trying to think since the last time that we talked. In the 19 Grasser Racing Lamborghini, that's Michele Beretta, who has joined that crew. For Inception Racing, that is the McLaren running this weekend. We haven't had one of those so far this year. Brendan Uribe and Ben Barnicote have been joined by Frederick Schandorf, who is a champion over in Europe and actually a Lamborghini junior driver, so changing manufacturers for him this weekend. Ben Barnicote set the time this morning in that practice session. And NTE, I think, is the other car that's had the driver change. That is car number 42, the Audi, Don Yundt, Jaden Conright, and Benjamin Ethis, who's joined in that team. I think that's all the changes we've had from the last time we spoke, John, but if I think of anything else, I'll shout out.
Great to have the Era Creon car livery back as well. They've just released the diecast model of that coming down towards turn 10 at the moment. Thank you, Shea, for that. The sounds of the cars going past the pit lane just reminding us how loud it is. 98.1 FM around Michelin Raceway, Road Atlanta, RS2, IMSA Radio around the world, live and free. An awful lot of sound and vision this weekend, particularly for Porsche, Mazda, and of course for the qualifying session for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. If you're in the US, it'll be NBCSN this weekend, and their swan song, of course, for the IMSA Championship. That channel going by the wayside at the end of the year, but they've been fantastically supportive of the IMSA series down through their tenure looking after it. And we wait to hear, well, we already know there's going to be even more NBC network coverage next year. Jeremy, first session earlier on today, and the track was even colder than it is now. It was pretty slick conditions. It was dry but cold.
Yeah, and it was the number 31 car that was fastest coming into this weekend. Felipe Nasr and Pipo Durrani in that number 31 Action Express Wheel and Engineering Cadillac. They trail the season-long championship leaders Ricky Taylor and Philip Albuquerque in the Konica Minolta Acura number 10 by 19 points coming to this weekend. But Felipe Nasr set the fastest time this morning, 109.508. for the Brazilian, who it was announced this week will not be back with the team next year. Instead, Pipo Durrani will be joined by Tristan Nunes, which is, I think it's tremendous to have an American driver in the wheel of one of those Action Express cars. It hasn't happened for a while. So I think that's extremely good news all around. And presumably good news for Felipe Nasr as well. I think probably has some exciting plans to unveil before too long. Hopefully at least, because he's a real talent, that boy. But he was fastest this morning, 109.508. To put that into perspective, the pole lap record was set here last year by Dane Cameron at a 108.4.
Oh, Jeremy, just going to interrupt you. We've got the right Porsche, the 16 car, way off at, well, even before turn 12. This is going to bring out a red flag. The red flag is out. And that is a very big incident. The rear of the car has been ripped off coming through turn 11. Got a little bit of a nudge from, I think that's an LMP3 car that's going through. No, it was a P2 car that went through. Let's just wait for a moment and I'll let you know the status of what's going on with the right Porsche. But that has for the moment stopped the session. The 16 car into the wall on drivers on the driver's left. It was Jan Heerlen at the wheel, and it was the Tower Motorsports number 8 car. Brilliant stuff by the Tape Apes up in Charlotte. John Ferrano driving that. Found the angle for me here in the Haggerty Global broadcast booth. I'm hearing from Shea, who's already talked to the team, that Jan Heerlen, who was aboard that car, has been speaking to the team. He's okay. So that at least is good news, but the session has been red flagged. The clock will continue to count down, but that is a very big incident, Jeremy. Both ends of that normally pristine right Porsche have got damage, and there's some side pod damage to John Ferrano and the Tower Motorsport number 8 Orica as well.
Indeed, it looked to me like John Ferrano just didn't even realise the Porsche was there, despite yeah. the fact he was overtaking it. That was just a bizarre incident. He left the Porsche absolutely no room, cannoned into the side of it, and poor Jan Heerlen, there was absolutely nothing he could do. He was already well toward the left-hand side of the racetrack there. And for the recently married, congratulations, Jan. Unfortunately, yeah, that's weekend, an early yes. end to that session for him.
Yeah, he's effectively on his honeymoon at the moment, isn't he? He got married last weekend. This is not what he was expecting. Shea Adam, this has championship implications for the Endurance Cup, because that Wright Motorsport Porsche was in the mix there.
Yeah, and they still are. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. But they lead 28 points in second on 27 points are the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche and Paul Miller Racing's number one Lamborghini. So Wright Motorsport with a very narrow advantage coming into the endurance race. That's why they're here. Patrick Long's still mathematically in it for the Drivers' Championship. Very difficult to accomplish that. But more importantly, Wright Motorsports is still in it for the Teams' Championship. So this is the last thing that they wanted to see.
Some quite significant carbon fibre damage to the left-hand side rail of the Tower Motorsports number 8 Aurica LMP2. John Ferrano's got it back to the pit. A bit of scuffage on the side pod itself. Whilst we get the opportunity, John's still in the car, by the way. Whilst we get the opportunity with nothing on the track, first of all, thank you very much to all of our marshals, to our clean-up crews, the track services, recovery medical as well. I spoke about this earlier on in one of our earlier broadcasts, but the opportunity to talk now about the renewal of the AMR agreement with IMSA for the provision of the safety team. That's very good news indeed. We always hope that they don't have much to do. Also, a couple of really interesting announcements earlier on today, just before noon local time. First of all, Porsche North America and Pat Long effectively calling time on what's been a stunning career in top level motorsports as far as driving is concerned, although I would suggest that he'll still want to be doing some of his racing in the classics and helping out some of the Porsche customers, Jeremy, but will become officially a Porsche Cars North America ambassador. And also be involved in the competition sides too as an advisor to Porsche Motorsport North America. Really important that somebody of Pat's stature from this continent is that experience, that knowledge is kept in the business, as it were.
Completely agree with you. I mean, he already plays a fairly substantial role at Porsche Motorsport North America, kind of just in an informal capacity, really more than anything else, but that's certainly going to be properly formalized now. And it is great news because he's a tremendous enthusiast in every way, and he's also a hell of a driver as well. So, you know, he's got a lot of experience to bear. You were talking about earlier the Lüfterkult phenomenon that it's become over the last few years, which is pretty much organized by Patrick, and he has some help with that, obviously. But, you know, his organizational capabilities are almost as strong as his driving capabilities, which is pretty stout. So he's a tremendous boon to Porsche Motorsport North America moving forward.
The other announcement that's been made that does have implications to the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship is that Corvette, we weren't sure what they would be doing next year because they don't have a GT3 car. Well, the first thing is that is going to change, albeit not until 2024. Customer cars only, as far as we have seen. There's no thought of a factory team in that, as per the announcement. That coincides with the next round of regulations for what we're still calling GT3. Whether it's still called GT3, then we don't know, and those regulations are still being finalised by the ACO and the FIA. But of more immediate interest is the announcement by Corvette Racing that they will split their racing next year 50-50 in terms of their resources, one car each, full season entry for the first time in the WEC, one car remaining here in IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, but having to be quite highly modified to be allowed to compete as a quartz GT3 car, which includes bringing the engine power down, changing some of the electronics, changing some of the aero, and of course they'll have to run on customer Michelin tyres. But the good news is Corvette Racing remain here for GTD Pro and, with the current spec of C8, go racing for the World Championship.
Yeah, pretty exciting, certainly for all drivers. You know, all six drivers will be retained. It'll be Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor who've effectively wrapped up yet another championship this weekend for Corvette Racing. They'll be staying in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship next season with Nicky Katzberg for the endurance races, as was the case this year. He'll be joining them this weekend. And the number four team of Tommy Milner and Nick Tandy will be running the World Endurance Championship. It's the first time for Nick since, I think, 2017 was the last time he contested a full WEC. And the first time ever for Tommy Milner. So very exciting for both of those two, with Alexander Sims joining in for Le Mans as well. So, yeah, it's great that Corvette has at least committed to running. It's a shame it's just a one car, but, hey, one car is better than none. And it's going to be great to see Corvette involved in GTD Pro here next year.
Yeah, and they're going to be asking for a couple of entries to the Le Mans 24 Hours. Of course, that means that even if the US driving squad come across, they will have to go back into the current spec of cars. They won't be bringing the GTD spec car over, which apparently they tested out some of the GT3 bits and electronics, particularly on that car, at the non-championship race at Belle Isle, including the ABS and the slightly different traction control on that car. That was quite clever of them, Jeremy, doing it under competition.
Yeah, I don't think we knew anything about that at the time, but that was part of the announcement this morning, that they did indeed try out those systems at Detroit. And it clearly it worked fairly well there. They had a fantastic 1-2 finish with the two cars in the class. As we said, it was running just an invitation class there, so they were able to run out of spec, if you like.
Isn't that Corvette racing, to take the opportunity? Brilliant. We wondered why they wanted to be there. Yes, it was their home race, but they were gathering data in a non-championship, so they must have quietly asked it, can we run out of spec here, guys? There's nothing, you know, nothing on this. And IMSA obviously saying back to them, yeah, absolutely, let's not make a fuss about it. Brilliant. Love how that worked.
Yeah, outside of the box thinking.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Exactly what we expect from Corvette. We wish them all the best. We're back to green flag racing, or green flag practice, should I say. Free practice two here for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Jeremy Shaw, John Hindorf, Shea Adam on IMSA Radio around the world. It's all free as ever. And this weekend, our final event for IMSA. But we'll be back next weekend for an IMSA sanctioned event with the 24 Hours of Sebring. First time ever we've had a contiguous 24-hour race as part of the Creventic Championship in the US, and that is next weekend at Sebring. That's a Friday and a Saturday race. That will be over on RS1, RadioLeMans.com, and we'll have sound and vision for you, no blocks, no breaks on that. And there are going to be a few names that you will recognise in that. Let me just say that. It's a pretty decent grid, and IMSA facilitating that event for the Dutch organisers from the Netherlands, from Creventic, in that 24H series event. And I'm very interested to see how some of those GT3 cars are going to go round there in the top class. Just had a wee bit of a whoopsie for the LMP3, the black and red, I think that's the 10 car, isn't it, that's just been off there, Jeremy. The far side of the circuit. It would help if I had the right
engine
list.
There isn't a 10 car.
Oh, is there not? Right, okay.
Well, the number 10 is the Konica Minolta car.
Oh, of course it is. Yes, absolutely right.
Didn't actually see who that was, and I haven't seen a kind of a spotter's guide yet, so there's quite a few cars there, colours of which I'm unaware as yet.
Andy Blackmore has got his up.
Oh, is that?
And about, yes, it was up Wednesday, actually.
Oh, right.
So it must have been, was it the Junior 3 car, the Fast MD Racing car? I'll tell you in a minute the next time I see it. I've run out of screens again here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. So I haven't got Andy's excellent spotter guide up on one of the screens here. So in this first part of the session, in fact actually we've gone through, haven't we, already the first part of the session for the for the lesser rated drivers. So it is now open season, as it were. Cadillac DPI at the top of the shop with the number 3 wand. And we can go back to Shea Adam in the VP Racing pit report. Shea, where have you wandered to in the pit lane now on the far side of the track?
Well, hearing you and Jeremy waxing lyrically about Corvette racing, of course, drew me down to the beautiful C8Rs. And Tommy Milner, this is a long overdue interview. You got pole at VIR. Congratulations on that. How good did it feel to not only take a pole, convert it to a win?
I broke your curse, finally, that you put on me for a long time there.
I would never put a curse on you.
I'm only kidding. That's all on me, obviously, not on you. Yeah, that was great, obviously, to get that pole and got the win as well. That was fantastic. We've had a great second half of the season for sure for us in the four car. Getting rid of some of the bad luck, that's for sure. So Nick said, I forget what race it was now, but four races ago, he said there's four races left. Let's win all four. So we've done three out of four so far and one to go, and obviously a big job ahead of us to make that happen this weekend, but that's the goal.
Yeah, but he's pretty nifty around here. I mean, Nick Tandy and Petit Lamar are sort of synonymous with one another. This is one that you still have to check off the list, though, and I'm saying that because I did that with the pole thing, and that kind of worked out. Corvette Racing, how badly do they want to be the last GTLM winner?
Yeah, that would be very special. It's also a little bit, just like my pole was a little bit past due in some ways, a win here for Corvette Racing, a little bit past due as well. I think Calvin Fish told me it was 2010 was the last time that the team won here, which is kind of hard to believe because we've had some really fast Corvettes over the years here. Felt like we could have won this race, I think, on numerous occasions, but as it always has been in this class, very competitive. And yeah, it'll be the same again this weekend. The two Porsches look very, very fast so far. But we'll do whatever we can to beat those guys, and the BMWs obviously as well. They'll be right there with us. So I think it should be, has the makings for a great race in GTLM to kind of send this class off on a good note.
It was big news today for Corvette Racing with the announcement of the GT3 program in effect. How was it decided who was going to race here and who was going to race in the WEC? I'm thinking it was rock, paper, scissors.
It was probably a bit of that. The question was asked to us not long ago if we could pick which one would we like to do. In my case, I love IMSA. I love all these racetracks. You hear all the guys that race in Europe, they love coming here. But as an American guy who's raced in this class in the series for so many years, to experience some of the other tracks outside of the U.S. was interesting to me. So, yeah, I got lucky with the coin toss there on where I wanted to race. So, yeah, excited about that challenge, something new for sure. Hopefully can do, you know, an IMSA race or two if possible. I've got a hard card, so I'm eligible to race. But yeah, it'll be different next year for sure to have the team split up like that. But big challenge, definitely, to split the resources that way. But if there's a team that can do it, it's Corvette Racing.
Has hard card, will travel. Tommy, we'll still see you in France at very least. Good luck.
Thank you.
Shea Adam with our VP Racing pit reports from the far side of the track. On the exit of the pit lane, we have a stalled prototype at the moment. We've also got a penalty. I'd say, by the way, that is the number 36, the Andretti Autosport prototype that stopped on the exit of the pit lane. And a penalty for John Ferrano, incident responsibility for that collision. Wow, that's come up very quickly. It was pretty cut and dried. And that is a stop and 60-second hold from the stewards. So the 36 car stalled at the end of the pit lane. And Jeremy, we didn't see very many laps from the Andretti Autosport car this morning. Jeremy Shaw.
Yeah, you're right, John. It only ran four or five laps this morning, so I'm not sure what the problem was with that car. But clearly, I'm wondering whether it's some sort of electrical problem, which has manifested itself again now, because, as you said, that car is just currently ground to a halt there in the middle of the racetrack. So all not well aboard that number 36 car for Andretti Autosport.
Quick question, Jeremy, while we've got the chance, because we've gone red again as we're waiting for that car to be recovered. This is coming from @48Hollywood on @ImsaRadio, exactly the right place that you need to get in touch with us to get into the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre and put your tweet in front of us. He said, I'm not sure how likely this is, but here's a question for later in the weekend. What would be the tie break in the event of a points tie for any of the IMSA Championship or Class Championships, Jeremy?
Race results. So wins, then seconds, thirds and fourths.
Is that likely this weekend? Might we have to go to that? Could it go to that?
It could go to that. It's unlikely, particularly with the addition this year of championship points for qualifying, which tends to be less a number. The race points are kind of round numbers. It's just times 10 from what it was last season. So we now have the single-digit differentials between the places in just for qualifying only. So, for example, in a couple of the classes, there's 50 points in between the first and second. So the LMP3, for example, there's 50 points in between them. So if the second place car wins the race and the car that currently is leading the points finishes in third place, that's a 50-point differential. But so they would be tied on points, but they are more than likely to score differing amounts of points in qualifying. So that would take that differential away, unless, of course, they both get DQ'd for some reason. It's unlikely, but it is possible. But it will be, I'm pretty sure, race positions. First of all, wins. Then if they're still tied to go to second places, still tied to go to third, and on down from there.
Yeah. It has happened in the past. I think we did go down to second places, possibly even thirds, a few years ago. I don't think it was in one of the headline championships, but I do seem to remember us talking about it at the time and working out where people had to come and what points they had to get. And although the points have effectively been times by 10 this year, that has not changed. So at Hollywood, that is the answer to that. If you've got any questions for us, happy to answer them. If we don't know, we'll send Shay to find someone who might. At IMSA Radio is the way to get in touch with us. The Cadillac DPI, the Ally car, fastest at the moment. Jimmy Johnson last in that car. Best of a 1:10.784, which is about half a second and a wee bit more ahead of Juan Pablo Montoya for the number 60. That's the MSR Acura. Second of the Acuras is the number 10. That's the Konica Minolta Acura, Philippe Albuquerque, in that car. And in the classes, LMP2, Ben Keating for the top time there in the number 52, ahead of the second place car, Stephen Thomas, John Ferrano, who'll be sitting out when we go back to green for at least 60 seconds, and then Dwight Merriman. LMP3, Jim Cox behind the wheel of the fastest car last it turned a lap with a 1:16.413. Nick Tandy, the best of the GT Le Mans cars with the Chevy Corvette number 4 ahead of his teammate Tonio Garcia. We do have two Porsches this weekend with the 79 and the 97 WeatherTech cars. Matthew Jaminet, the best of those two at the moment in the 79. That's the substantive entry from the WeatherTech concern. And Robbie Fawley for Turner BMW in the number 96 leads GT Daytona from the two Lexus, Carl Kirkwood in the 14 and Frank Monte Calvo in the 12. Did I see that Carl Kirkwood has been lured back to single-seater racing, Jeremy?
Yeah, indeed. He's been the dominant force in single-seater racing in North America for the last 4 or 5 years, won absolutely everything. including this year's Indy Lights Championship. And yes, he just announced this week he'll be driving for AJ Foyt Racing in the NTT IndyCar Series for next season. AJ Foyt seems still under a sort of a rebuilding phase, as it's been sort of termed for the last 10 years or more. But certainly, yeah, there were some promising signs, particularly last year, and somebody with Carl Kirkwood's ambition and clearly talent. I think it's a good bet that team will make some good forward strides in 2022. It'd be great to see, because he's a very, very talented young man.
Yeah, sad to see we're losing in from this paddock, because he's adapted very well to GT racing. And you know, I think he'd be the first to admit he's kept his name in the frame as well, Jeremy. And racing drivers need to race. It sometimes doesn't matter what you're racing. Get out there, be competitive, show that you've got the right attitude.
Well, he hasn't been a full-timer in the IMSA paddock, but he's just been doing the long-distance races, and there's no reason why that shouldn't continue moving forward, John, quite frankly, because, yeah, as we've seen this year and every year, there's several IndyCar drivers that will come along and compete in long-distance races. Case in point, of course, Scott Dixon, amongst many, many others, who is a defending champion of this race, isn't he, with the number 10 team. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Carl Kirkwood back again in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship.
And just before, in fact, we come back to green, I'll come back to my other point in just a moment. So the track is now clear. That Andretti car has been recovered out of harm's way. I've got a sneaking suspicion, however, that has gone over to the paddock on the opposite side of the track. I'll check that for you in a minute. Or has it been... Shea's just telling me it is. They've just dragged it behind the wall. OK, that's very good indeed, because that would have been a bit difficult for the team to get it back. Temperature on the track, 81 degrees Fahrenheit and 70 in the air at the moment. Still fairly sticky with 73% humidity, as those of you listening on 98.1 FM, Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta FM, will know. For the weekend, by the way, XM202 is your opportunity to listen to the full race without any interruption if you are moving around and you are, or your car is, so equipped. We'll have, for those of you outside the States, we'll have the full race flag to flag as well in sound and vision. Everybody can watch and listen to qualifying. We'll have that for you tomorrow. For those of you in the US, race coverage with our colleagues from NBCSN will take you through the drama of the 10 hours of Motul Petit Le Mans 2021. Right, getting back up to speed. It is the old skate part of the session in FP2. Great to hear the engines rattling down the back straight, and pretty much perfect conditions here, Jeremy. Still on the track, maybe a tad chillier than the Michelin tyre engineers would like, but they'll be adjusting their tyre pressures to compensate for that. But sunshine, even got some shadows from the cars here at what, nearly 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, not bad at all, is it? Certainly very good news. I guess it's fairly warm out there, isn't it, at the moment? But it is good conditions right now. And interesting, certainly, to see Jimmy Johnson at the top of the charts at the moment. He's had a productive test here a couple of weeks ago. He hasn't raced here in a sports car before, but he has driven stock cars around here, albeit about 25 seconds perhaps slower than the Ally Cadillac that he's driving this weekend. And he's turned the best time so far, 110.7 for Jimmy. I think most of the prototype cars, fair to say, didn't really get up to speed before that incident occurred. But he's showing good pace. He's made steady improvements in this car. It's been a while, obviously, since he's driven it, but he was making good strides over those first three races of the season.
Let's head back to Shea Adam with a VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock report. She's down at Fast MD Racing with James Vance and the number 40 team.
Had to come all the way down to the far end of the pit lane, but James, you guys have the best view of the cars coming out of the final turn, diving down here. Now, Fast MD is a team we're used to. but an LMP3 car? How did this all come together?
You know what they say, Shane, go big or go home. And I guess the best way to put it, us at Fast MD Racing, we don't like going home. So we decided to go big. So, I mean, ultimately for us, the choice was pretty simple. The economics of it made sense. And, I mean, the exposure value for us as a team, but more so as a corporate entity of FastMD Healthcare Solutions, I mean, it makes total sense. So we're here. We understand where we're at. We're managing our expectations. And for all intents and purposes, we're here to just figure out our kinks. So we're just excited to be here. We're excited to be back at the racetrack, back in IMSA. And it's a beautiful day here in Atlanta, so very grateful.
You've done WeatherTech races before in the prototype challenge category. You're used to being in a prototype. Well, what's it like to race in a prototype with a roof over your head?
You know, I was a little bit, I thought it was going to be quite hot inside the car. But ultimately, there's so much airflow coming in that the windshield doesn't really exist anyways. And we're looking so far down the track that everything disappears. So, I mean, it is quite tight in the cockpit because I'm 6 feet tall. And I had to do some adjustments on the pedals because my feet are quite big, but, you know, it's all good. It's a race car. It's got a steering wheel, a brake pedal, and a throttle, and it's a heck of a race car. So thank you to Duquesne for designing a badass race car, and thank you to everyone at FastMD Racing for helping us get to where we are. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Now, you've got Todd Archer and Max Hanratty in the car with you. Max is a name that we know and we associate with prototype racing, but how did you and Todd put this together?
So Todd was actually slated to race with us next week at a different professional endurance event at Sebring Raceway. Our initial confirmed driver for Petit, after the test, he had some issues. So we kind of went to the drawing board and said, well, we can wait until Daytona, but that's not really our style. So I called Todd, who was committed to the other race. And I just said, listen, I want to offer this to you before I go farm it out because Gravenik's not, the other race isn't going to happen. And he's like, okay, well, yeah, I'm in. I was like, okay. So I explained to him, like, listen, we're not going to go out there and be the absolute fastest car. You know, we're going out there to all learn. He's taken that, and I'm so impressed with how he's executing. He's really, really going step by step, bit by bit. And he's managing these expectations, and that's all I can ask for.
Well, good luck this weekend to you guys, the whole team. I know you got a lot of support here, but Petit Le Mans, it's a long one. Just be there at the end.
Thank you, Shay. I appreciate it.
That race next weekend, the Gravenik race at the 24 Hours at Sebring. He has IMSA involvement. IMSA being very much instrumental in the organisation of that race. Todd Archer, Jeremy, you had a chat with him yesterday.
Yeah, really interesting character. He's a... He owns various car dealerships in the Houston area, so therefore he's familiar with Ben Keating, who very much looks up to. He would very much like to emulate what Ben Keating has achieved in the sport, which I think was kind of cool. Done a lot of experience in excursion there for number 42 Audi, but back on again just sort of through the grass there. He's driving that car at the moment. Not quite sure.
That's the top of the hill coming up from turn two.
Back underway again, so no harm, no foul there. But back to Todd Archer. A lot of endurance racing experience, primarily in the World Racing League, WRL. We've driven all sorts of different cars. He's driven a Cayman, he's driven a Subaru BRZ a few times, and he's done a little bit of testing in that F4 car, along with driving a couple of prototypes, the Praga and the Wolf prototype cars in that WRL. So yeah, lots of experience in lots of different cars, but very much acknowledges he's got a lot to learn. As James Lathan said there, great attitude about it all and approaching it very much in the right way, i.e. to learn.
And I think that's the right thing to do. Don just hitting the curb on the middle part of the turn one corner, the Apex, and did 1 3/4 spins before he ended up facing the WeatherTech banner. Down at turn 10, another spin, this time for the 91 prototype, Riley Motorsports. Jim Cox, Dylan Murray, Jerome Blakemolen in that car, and it is Jim Cox at the wheel. Just locked up the rear end of that car.
maybe on a downshift, maybe got the brake bias just a little bit too far back. He's ended up in the gravel pit there at turn 10. That might bring out another red flag if he can't drive out of that, because he's anyone else goes straight on, they're going to be saying hello to Jim rather too closely. He was closing in, he'd just gone past the 42 and he was closing in on another prototype, but I think he just outbraked himself a tiny bit. It's a downhill braking area there and the red flag has come out. Yeah, back wheel's just locking up. Almost went onto the access part of the road there, very unlucky for Jim, but ends up facing oncoming traffic, which is never a particularly nice thing to do, as the cars are coming down full pelt down there. Tony has the red flag out over the start finish line right in front of the Michelin tyre. Hello to all of the guests in that outstanding building, and to all of you who have made the trip to Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Very big crowd for a Thursday, and the on-field, infield camping and RV areas pretty much full already. But if you're thinking of making a trip, you're within half a day's or a day's drive, you could do a lot worse than heading to Braselton for at least Saturday, maybe tomorrow as well. A lot of great accommodation around here, some good food, legendary hospitality in these parts. Great place to come. A little bit later in the year, so we were a little worried about the weather, but so far it's playing ball. And if you don't have to stand out in it, a bit of rain here, and if you don't have to stand out here and you're outside in the rain here and you're watching it, the rain can really spice up a race here. But we've seen quite a lot of incidents already, Jeremy. I'm not saying people have forgotten how to drive, although we've had a decent break since the last IMSA event. A lot of these drivers, even the gentleman drivers, have been doing other things, but quite clearly Road Atlanta still is providing a challenge. I'll let you answer that in a moment after we've had this VP Racing Fuel Pit Report. Stephen McAleer is with Shea Adam.
Stephen, you've been a little bit greedy this year. You've been involved with 5 of 6 possible IMSA championships, and you got 4 out of 5 this weekend going on. Do you just like being the busiest man in the paddock?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I absolutely love this. Yesterday was busy. Today's on another planet, so I've been back and forward. And, you know, I appreciate all the teams are, you know, respect that I'm running all over the place. And, you know, it's been good. It's helped with track conditions, and, you know, I always feel I'm better in myself driving different cars every weekend, and this is a certain test to me. So I'm excited. You know, I was watching the MX5 Cup race on the phone while I was doing some driver change stuff, so it's been really busy. It's a lot of fun.
What's it like driving the Mercedes GTD machine? Because you were in an LMP3 to begin the year.
Yeah, you know, excited. I got an opportunity to test with these guys last month, and, you know, we literally get 9 or 10 laps in the car, and I felt pretty good in it. You know, obviously there's a lot of talent here, and we're excited for a long race ahead of us, but the Mercedes is fun. It's I might say it's a little easier than the P3 car to drive. P3 car is a little more on the edge. But, you know, overall, like, it's nice driving 3 different cars out here, and I got to keep telling myself where the break points are before I go out in one and forget it and pick the wrong one. So,
sharing this car with Mike Skeen and Guy Cosmo, 2 very good, accomplished guys. How have the 3 of you been bonding this week?
You know, it's been great. I'm learning a lot from Mike and Guy. They were quicker than me in the first session. We're a little closer this second time around, and again, there's no to me, there's no competing against the teammates. It's learning from them, and once I figure this car out, you know, I expect to be running up front.
What are you expecting from night practice tonight, especially when it rains? Because you're kind of a rainmeister.
You know, if there was 100% chance of rain in the race, I think we'd probably spend some time on the car. I think we'll probably just do our minimum drive time, get that over with, make sure we're all, you know, ready for the night. And, you know, we might learn something out there, but I think in reality it's probably best that the car gets put away and ready for Saturday.
Well, good luck Saturday in the Mercedes. Good luck tomorrow in the LMP3 machine and the Aston Martin, because driving 3 cars on a weekend. Oh, and good luck to your drivers in the MX5 competition, too.
Yeah, it's, hopefully there's a lot of podiums to come, so we'll see what happens.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Stephen.
Stephen McAleer with Shea Adam as that VP Racing Fuel Pit Report ends. We go back to
green flag. Still with 28 minutes, call it, left on that. Good to hear Stephen's voice again. And Jeremy, he has been a very busy bee indeed this season, and building his driving back up again whilst also running the business.
Yeah, it's amazing what he's been able to achieve this season. Yeah, winning races, all sorts of different categories, and if you name it, he's done it this year, it seems. His name is absolutely everywhere. But it's great to see him. I mean, he is a perfect testament to hard work, hard graft, never give up, because he doesn't come from a particularly privileged background. And he took it upon himself to come over here from Glasgow in Scotland, where he was born and raised, and he's made a career for himself and done it the hard way. Just a great story, Stephen McAleer. Wonderful to see him have all these opportunities and take advantage of all of them as well, John.
The first time we spoke to him was on the Midweek Motorsport programme many, many years ago, and we picked up on a story that he'd won a driver development series effectively out here in the States, and
Skip
won
Bob.
Himself, yeah, Skip Bob, exactly, and he won himself a bit of money, and at the time he was literally stacking shelves in a local supermarket, and he decided that having done that, having paid his way to come out and win that championship, race that championship and win it, he won himself a little bit of a prize pot, and he decided to see if he could make a go of it. And I've got to say, kudos to him, because you know that's not the normal way into motor racing, Jeremy, is it? But the tenacity of the lad has really paid off, and he's expanded to running his own team now with Chapa Company.
Yeah, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Hats off to the guy. He's worked super hard to get where he is right now, and he's got some great people behind him. You know, Joe Robillard, of course, is a great sort of mentor for him in terms of the business side of things. They run together in the LMP3. He'll be in the IMSA Prototype Challenge race, which is tomorrow morning, I guess, isn't it? So, you know, all these opportunities he's absolutely earned, and he's just a really good, well-grounded guy, and super to see.
It's Jeremy Shaw, who's alongside me, John Hindorf. We're in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre as we come to the end of what's been an outstanding season of racing. Well done to John Doonan, all the IMSA competition team, all the logistics, and thank you very much indeed to all the PRs of the teams and the press contacts who've kept us up to date with what's been going on. We've got the AMG number 32 a very, very long way off the track at the moment, and it's gone off at turn 5 is what I'm seeing. That's the Gilbert Courthope Motorsports Performance Driving Group car, and is in the cutout that can be used as the alternative track that basically cuts out turn 6 and 7, or you can run it as a short circuit using only 6 and 7 and completely just missing the braking point for that AMG. And who have we got the wheel at that at the moment? It's Guy Cosmo helmet there. So that's an uncharacteristic error from Guy. So I'm going to suggest that he might have had an issue there. He skipped across the gravel. Hasn't hit anything. Managed to get off the track. He's going to put a little bit of gravel. To be fair, I don't even think he's dragged that much gravel onto the track because he skipped across the gravel at such pace. But got the car stopped before he hit anything. And has rejoined. So a bit of a scary moment for Guy there. But lots of experience in trying to make the corner, Jeremy, which probably would have ended up with him in the gravel rather than skipping through it.
Yeah, kind of abandoned ship, didn't he? Halfway through that corner and straight through the gravel, and don't get caught up in the gravel. If you spun it there, he probably got bogged in the gravel, put out a red flag, filled the car with gravel, and that would be the end of their session. So good heads up driving, good thinking there from Guy Cosmo to get through the gravel onto that pavement area, get the car turned down, and rejoin again. You'll probably come into Pittsburgh to have a look over it, make sure everything's okay and there's no gravel where it shouldn't be, but a lot better than most of the alternatives that were open to him at that stage when he was clearly going off the road.
Lives to fight another day though, Jeremy, as you rightly say. Engine noise in the background, the tortured four-cylinder motor
of the Mazda 2-litre turbocharged engine. Last outing this weekend for Mazda in the DPI ranks. Or is it the rumblings of somebody else taking this programme on still persist? We haven't heard anything either way on that. What we know is that Mazda Racing have no plans to take this forward for another season, and as yet we have had no announcement of anything further from them in the new LMDH, which I thought might have suited them down to the ground, particularly as rotary engines are being allowed for the first time in a long time again in the top class of motor racing, both in hypercar and in LMDH. But as yet, as it stands, this is their last race, and we'll miss them all. And the little engine that has, never mind could. Back with the BMWs this weekend in GT Le Mans as well. Last run for the M8 GTEs, of course, in IMSA competition. Not expecting those cars back next year. But there is a new BMW GT3 car, the M4, and strong hopes, Jeremy, that we will get a GTD Pro team from BMW North America, and of course we will get an LMDH car, IMSA's vision of the top class of motorsport. Dallara building that chassis for entry into the top class here in IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship in 2023. So BMW, okay, retiring the M8, but certainly not disappearing from the racetrack.
No, very much not. And all sorts of exciting plans there at BMW for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and racing in particular. I believe the M4 is actually on display in the fan village this weekend. So that might be worth a visit, have a look at that car. And I also believe that Neil Verhagen, who's one of the BMW junior drivers, and maybe the other ones as well, are here at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta this weekend for a critique and I'm having a look around. So it'd be good to, maybe we can try and find him, or he can find us during this weekend to find out maybe some more about that new car, because I know he has done, all of the junior drivers have done some testing in that M4 to be, you know, to, as part of the preparation process for the 2022 season.
Well known already to racers in virtual reality on iRacing. The car was launched on there some time ago. We've seen it out a few times in various races in Europe. GT3 in its current guise shows no signs at all of slowing down, with the competition getting more and more sharp. Audi with new Evo 2 version of the R8. We've seen that incremented competition a couple of times this year already, with a very interesting take on the rear aero with a reverse swan neck, and the mounts for the rear aerofoil, the rear wing, have been completely differently positioned, and that wing being pushed further back and out over the back of the car, apparently giving it a far more efficient way of using the airflow off the rear window of the car. As I said, that car's been put in the hands of some of its current customers in Creventic Racing, and they've been feeding back to it as well before the car is finally, the car spec is finally set in stone and the car's homologated. Best of the GT cars at the moment is Corvette number 3, Antonio Garcia in that car at the, tell a lie, because Matthew Jaminet has just gone to the top, and that's in the number 79 WeatherTech Porsche. The 97 has got Michael Christensen at the wheel, still I'm sure fuming from Bahrain last weekend. And by the way, if you're here at the track, take time to have a look down the pit straight. We'll be able to get access to the pit straight on Saturday before the race. Yes, it is a Saturday race. And just look at the fabulous mural artwork down driver's left of the previous winning cars of Hotel Petit Le Mans. It's a really nice addition for this year. So coming down into the last 15 minutes, which means it will be
a run for only the pro classes. But for the moment, we're still seeing some improvements, including in LMP2, Jeremy, where Mikkel Jensen has just gone faster than he's... Actually, he's gone faster than anybody in LMP2.
Yeah, he has a 111.930 there for Mikkel Jensen. The fastest time this morning in LMP2 was Gabriel Obrey in the number 8 Tower Motorsport car, 111.7. So considerably warmer this afternoon. So a good time, I would suggest, there for Mikkel Jensen in that number 52 car. He's only a second behind all of the prototypes. The tail end of the DPI field is the number 60 car. Juan Pablo Montoya set a 110.8, so 111.9 for Mikkel Jensen is pretty stout. In LMP3, it's still the number 91 car. The car was off the road a while ago with Jim Cox at the wheel. It was still Dylan Murray who hopped out of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America presented by Cape and Islands car after finishing a very strong fourth position. Top five or six. In any case, had a good run in that race, so he's another one who's a busy boy this weekend. He's done a Murray that set the time at 91 car a while ago, 116.413, just fractionally quicker than Felipe Fraga in the number 74 championship leading car. That's the teammate car, the second of the Riley Motorsports entries in car number 74.
Very close moment at the top of the hill at turn two between Wheel and Engineering number 31. And there was there a little touch there between Felipe Nasr, and that was the car was that going through? I think that was Sebastian Borda.
Yes.
In the Mustang Sapphire car, Jeremy, yes. Were very close there. Seb came up the outside. Yes, it was. The Mustang Sapphire car a little darker this weekend, more black than grey, and a bit more shiny. Or is that just my old eyes?
Sunshine, I think.
Sunshine, yeah. Not used to seeing much of that now that the clocks have changed, of course. It seems to be dark when I get up and dark when I go to bed back in the UK. Shadows lengthening in the afternoon here with local time just coming on to 20 minutes past 3 on the Eastern time zone. Everybody's daylight saving now being switched off and back on to substantive time. Into the pits for the number 31 Whelan Cadillac. Bit of other good news for next year as well that's broken since the last time that we talked to you is that Chip Ganassi Racing are going to be running two cars next year, Jeremy. I had Alex Lynn on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday. Actually, we'll play that out on IMSA Radio over the course of the weekend as well. Great news, gearing up clearly for the LMDH arrival in 2023, so not next season, the season after that, and Chip Ganassi doing what Chip Ganassi Racing does, taking it seriously and planning ahead.
Yeah, great to see, and certainly your Cadillac involvement there as well in that V Performance Academy team, and along with Rengo van der Zander, who will be remaining here. Kevin Magnussen, of course, is moving on. We knew that already. Alex Lynn joining in. And also there, it'll be Sebastian Bourdais and Earl Bamber, too, making his return to the prototypes. So that's four very, very strong drivers for Cadillac, Cadillac Chip Ganassi team. And they're going to be very, very hard to beat, I think, in 2022, having got a year's experience with this car under their belt.
I think that's key, Jeremy. And I think I described, when I was talking to Alex on Wednesday, I described the driver lineup for the four regular drivers as more than adequate. We don't yet know who the endurance drivers are going to be or how those drivers will be split up between the two cars, but I suggested that frankly anywhere they cut that, I couldn't see that one way would be better than another. It might just come down to driving styles, physicality, you know, get drivers of the same height to make it easier to do the driver changes, but I don't see there with those four, I don't see a weak link at all.
Absolutely not. And I'm sure Dixie will be joining the fray as well.
Certainly.
As he, of course, he is this weekend, joining Reg van der Zander and Kevin Magnussen. Talking of Magnussen, by the way, I was at the Formula Ford Festival a week or two ago. It was so cool to see his dad, Jan, not only there at the festival, but actually driving as well. It was fantastic fun. He was so much enjoying it. He had a great, great time. He was there with his nephew, Dennis Lind. Of course, Kevin and Dennis, they're both former winners of the festival. And
Dennis
they were
has just won the British GT
fun.
Championship as well.
Yes, he
so
has.
He's had a really good season, Dennis.
Yeah, and they had so much fun. They were running as teammates, actually, with two Team USA scholarship drivers who ended up finishing second and third that weekend. And it was just a great weekend all around. So we might be losing K-Mag next season, but Jan's still driving and still having as much fun as ever in the other race. In fact, I think he's already making plans to return to the festival next year, which is going to be kind of cool.
50th anniversary of the Formula Ford Festival. K-Mag back, Dennis Lind back, a couple of other winners, and we also had Roberto Moreno was back in the car, Warren Hughes was back in the car, all people who started their careers at the Formula Ford Festival. And just before we go to shit, should mention the Team USA boys came second and third, as Jeremy did there, and in the Walter Hayes trophy, Max Esterton went better, Jeremy, and won the lot.
Yeah, he did. Very impressive, the two boys, Max Esterton and Andre Castro. Two youngsters who I think we're going to be hearing a lot more of in the years to come. They were both very, very impressive. Max Esterson, of course, he's been driving Formula Ford the whole season, so he was expected to be running up front. But a second at the festival and a win at the Walter Hayes, that exceeded even his expectations, I think. So, it was a lot of fun all around. I couldn't stay on for the Hayes, unfortunately, but I was there for the festival. And it was just a great event.
Yeah, and Max was racing the semi-final against Chris Middlehurst, wasn't it? They had a pretty much a race-long battle in the semi. Fantastic, fantastic battle. Let's go down to Shea Adam, who's patrolling the pits for us with his VP Racing Field Pit Report. Shea?
It seems hard to believe, but Ben Keating is about to become an IMSA champion for the first time, at least officially, as a class champion. Ben, all you guys need to do with PR1 Matheson, start the race in LMP2, but that's not good enough. You're fastest in this session, second session. You're setting up a race car to win Petit Le Mans, aren't you?
Yeah, first of all, don't jinx me. We still have to start the race. Yep. You know, hey, I don't want to make any assumptions here, but we've had a great season. I'm super excited to take the start and to win the championship. My first championship since I've been running in IMSA for a really long period of time now, but really excited about it. But it definitely gives a different flavor on the race. So, you know, now we don't necessarily have to be as careful to worry about getting, you know, points for the championship. And, you know, we can race for the NAEC and for the Petit Le Mans win. So, I think, I really want to win the NAEC. So I'll be racing for the 4-hour and the 8-hour points. I think the team and my co-drivers would rather just win the race. So we're all hoping for a clean sweep of everything. But there's a lot of traffic and a lot of time to go to get to that point.
Well, good luck on Saturday. And, John, we just found out Ben's going to be at the car at the 4 and the 8-hour mark because he wants to make sure he gets all the points.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Like that thinking. We need to get Ben's thoughts on what we were talking about earlier on about his car dealer competition from down in Texas. And that would be a decent little interview if we can get the pair of them together. Shea Adam with the VP Racing Fuel Pit Report there. Just under 9 minutes still to go. And Felipe Nasr, has he just pitted or has he just gone fastest? No, 31 has the fastest time, 109.5. 109.6 for the 01, both of the Cadillacs there. Then the Mazda in third, Harry Tinknell at the wheel of that car at the moment, the number 55, the white, red and blue car in LMP2. It's 52 Orica from 22 Orica from 18 Orica. Mikkel Jensen from Wayne Boyd, who's back with us again this weekend in the number 20 22 LMP 3 car. LMP 2 car, excuse me. Just confused myself there as well. That's the United Autosports car that he shares with Guy Smith, 2003 Le Mans winner for Bentley, of course. Guy, good to see him back racing as well. And James McGuire, Jim, of course. In LMP3, Jerome Blakemolen is at the wheel of the number 91 car. They're all in the pits now, of course, because we are into the last 15 minutes, halfway through the last 15 minutes. So all of the AM classes are now finished, so none of those times will change. So it's the number 91 Riley Motorsports car that did have some problems with Jim Cox earlier on, but Jerome Blakemolen setting the fastest time there ahead of Scott Andrews, who was last in the 74 Riley Motorsports car. Gar Robinson and Felipe Fraga sharing with him. The other category that is all in the pits now and all done and dusted is GT Daytona, where the best of them was the BMW of Turner Motorsport, the number 96, from the two Lexus, 14 from 12, fourth for the number 9 Pfaff Porsche, fifth Lamborghini Huracan, Paul Miller Racing, Brian Sellers, very much on home ground this weekend. Roll out the bed and in the car, pretty much. Russell Ward and the 57 Mercedes of Wynwood Racing are making up the top 10. Lamborghini of Michele Beretta, Aston Martin of Heart of Racing, McLaren number 70 up there in the top 10 as well, being the Inception Racing car. Very pretty looking car that as well. Those cars, as I say, off the track at the moment, Jeremy, just the two pro classes left on the circuit.
Yeah, and just a quick note there, it was actually Dylan Murray that set that last time in LMP3. Kudos to him.
Sorry.
And that's fine. And it was Robbie Foley, indeed, who was fastest in the GTD car. So good for you in that. Turner Motorsport BMW would be quickest in both sessions. I think it was Bill Oblin who set the time this morning, but it was Robbie Foley this afternoon. So hats off to him. And yeah, you were right there. Felipe Nasr did improve in the at the fastest time. I think he's gone a bit quicker again, actually, on the lap before this one. 109.462 now, the fastest time. That is of the day by Felipe Nasr in car number 31. Kevin Magnussen got up to second position in the number 01 car before coming to the pits and handing over that car now for the final few minutes for Scott Dixon. And the Mazda that had been in second place, now back down to third. Harry Tinknell, though, has just improved to a 1:10.007. That car had some issues this morning in the first practice session, number 55 car, which they often seem to do in the first session, yeah, don't they? But it was nothing too serious. It was a battery voltage issue that caused them to not do many laps this morning. But clearly has been fixed for this afternoon, number 55, Mazda. Back now to second place, by the way. Tinknell improved again at 109.566 there for Harry Tinknell.
So, Jeremy, have we improved times since this morning? That's the question with 5 minutes to go.
Indeed so. Just over the last couple of laps, Felipe Nasr just improved upon the time this morning. 109.508 this morning, 109.462 this afternoon. And there, Harry Tinknell up into second place, 109.566. So, pretty tight at the front there. Also, the number 01 Cadillac, Scott Dixon at the wheel of that car now. That's only just a couple of tenths off the ultimate pace. In GTLM, Nick Tandy is, I think, in the pits at the moment in the number 4 Corvette. But he has set the fastest time, 116.938. Fastest time this morning was Fred McAwecki, 116.7. Number 97 WeatherTech Porsche. Great to see two WeatherTech Porsches in this race, isn't it?
It is.
Looks to be very competitive. I was actually looking at the BOP changes, not really, very few changes coming into this weekend. In fact, the only change in GTLM is that the Corvette now has 1 litre less fuel capacity. But what was interesting to me was looking back on the BOP as it was for this race last year. The Corvette is 10 kilograms heavier than it was last year. Whoops, a spin there for Scott Dixon.
Scott Dixon coming out of turn 10, yeah.
Yeah, the Corvette and the BMW both 10 kilograms heavier than last year. The Porsche, which didn't win the race last year. Yeah, it did. That's 40 kilograms lighter than 1 year ago, so that's kind of interesting.
Down to the last 2 minutes. Scott on his own, spinning in the first part of turn 10, but managed to reverse the lock and keep the Ally Cadillac out of the beach down there, and managed to recover, get it pointed in the right direction. Got a long way around the corner there, Jeremy. I thought we were going to see him having spun that on the way in, but actually he was sort of three quarters of the way around there. That was a bit of an odd one, frankly.
Yeah, you did often see Scott Dixon spinning a car.
I'm writing it down in my calendar. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Scott Dixon spins. Yeah, that's an odd one. That'll be a quiz question then.
He was at the festival too, by the way.
Yes, I saw that.
He had a great time. A nice chat to him after the race. He was absolutely loving it. It was a quick spin down there for Dixie. What was his lap time? I think that was just his second flying lap, actually, just taking over the wheel of that car from Kevin Magnussen, coming over the top of the hill now down to into the final corner. Let's see what he can do lap time wise now. It's a 1 minute. Chart still hasn't shown up. Dixie 10.17. Okay, so we're still getting back up to speed and like that.
Correct. Yeah.
So just inside the final minute now. So this has been the last flying lap we've got this session.
Well, a few drops early on, but relatively clean. The big headline here, and we'll get Shea to follow this up in the next session, which will be the night practice, won't it, for these cars. And that's the Wright Motorsport number 16 Porsche, which was tipped off the track by John Ferrano, if you remember, very early on in the piece. Hit the wall hard, drivers left. Coming under the Fox Factory Bridge, check flag is out. That's a lot of work for that team. Harry Tinknell goes to the top as the checkered flag came out. 1 minute 9.356. So Mazda, as Jeremy was saying, often quick in the early sessions. They've done it again. And Harry Tinknell tops the session by half a tenth from the already pitted number 31 red and white Wayland Cadillac. 3 tenths back from that 0-1 Cadillac now in the hands of Scott Dixon. Great run at the right time for Harry Tinknell, and going into their final competitive weekend with this car and this setup, Jeremy, that's exactly where they want to be. They want to go out with a bang.
Well, they do, because it's been a disappointing second half of the season. They were right in contention for the championship for most of the year, but have slipped away in a ladder stages. But they are still in contention for the Michelin Endurance Cup, just 3 points behind the number 10 car coming into this final weekend. And in the Michelin Endurance Cup, there'll be points awarded three different times during the race. So it'll be after four hours, 8 hours, and 10 hours, I can't remember that. But they'll be awarded three different times during the race. So a lot to play for in that Michelin Endurance Cup. And Mazda's still in the reckoning there to try and finish out this programme on a very, very high note.
Just waiting for a couple of cars to come back to the line. Just looking at, an improvement for Sebastian Bourdais last time around at 109.571. And that jumps that number five Mustang Sampling Cadillac, Jeremy, up into third position again, right at the very death.
Yeah, and that's good to see. Yeah, coming off a strong run last time out. These cars haven't been in action since Long Beach, it seems like an age ago. They had a podium finish there, though, in that Mustang Sampling car. So they'll be they were certainly heartened by that and looking to keep that momentum going here into Petit Le Mans. Good to see.
Yeah, very good to see. Indeed. So, Jeremy, your thoughts on that FP2 session there. That's the split session, of course. Problems, obviously, and a bit of work to do for Wright, as we mentioned, but good work done by the rest of the field. A lot of laps turned.
Yeah, lots of fun all the way around. It, you know, as you say, it was a bit of a slow start with a couple of incidents early on, but yeah, most of the teams getting a goodly amount of laps in. Most of the teams getting 30 laps or more in during that hour and a bit session. So I think most of the teams will be pretty happy with it. And if you look at the overall charts, less than a second covers all seven prototypes at the front of the field, and similar story in all of the other classes as well.
Shea Adam will finish off with the man who was fastest, nicked it right at the end, Harry Tinknell for Mazda.
Well, Harry, you left that a little bit late, but went to the top of the charts. Nice to see the speed in the Mazda. What's the emotions going into this weekend, the last race for the Mazda DPI program?
Yeah, look, the car's scattered with all our best fans, signatures, and of course we want to go out on a high. I think Larry said in his press release for Multimatic, you know, we've had some great moments, and there's also some unfinished business, and one of those is this weekend. So we really want to go out and try and do our best and get that trophy, you know, because we've got a Sebring, we've got two Watkins, and this is the last chance to get a Petit and a Mazda for a little time anyway. So look, I think pretty strong overall in that session. We had a little issue earlier in the first FP1. So hopefully we've got all the bad luck out of the way, and we'll just keep moving forward. So let's see what it goes like in this evening. It looks like it's going to be rain, so maybe like a little bit of a waste of time if the rest of the weekend's going to be dry, but overall positive so far.
Well, good luck making it three in a row today for fastest in qualifying in sessions.
Thank you. Cheers.
Well, great to hear Harry with the smile on his face there, Jeremy, and well-deserved as well. Lots of emotion there. But great to see them competitive at this part of the weekend. And that's just about it for us for the time being, but we've got plenty more action coming your way, including more WeatherTech sports car action on RS2. We'll have more from Porsche and Mazda today and tomorrow as well. Stay tuned, because we've got some bonus coverage of the Michelin Pilot Challenge qualifying session. And that comes up a bit later on as well. For all of our live shows, get to imsaradio.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see the schedule on there for this weekend. And by some black magic, and I'm not sure how, it automatically converts into the time zone where you are standing. Don't ask me. I only talk into a microphone. Thanks to Jeremy and Shay. We'll be back in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre a little bit later on with more live coverage from Motul Petit Le Mans 2021. Bye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.